I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
I'm Cyndi Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean 4 times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Another victory.
Woo-hoo.
Smile.
I'm not allowed to smile.
Smile on camera.
Smile, but don't be goofy.
Don't be goofy. Don't be too excited. Smile. Gosh.
Welcome again, Utah fans, to the Utah Football Fans podcast. Yes, another win again on Saturday.
Yep.
Hooray!
Big win.
A big win. And we will get into all of that. We want to thank our sponsor, Thomas Orthodontics. Please look him up at thomasortho.com. And we did also want to mention we are doing a giveaway on our Instagram page. In honor of that we're playing in the Rose Bowl Stadium this week, we decided to give away some Rose Bowl gear. So we have a couple Rose Bowl shirts, Rose Bowl hat, courtesy of the Red Zone. So go to our Instagram page, Utah Football Fans, on Instagram, follow the rules, you know. Like, follow, tag.
Just do what it says and you'll be fine.
If you subscribe on YouTube, that is a bonus entry. And here's a challenge for all you Utah fans.
Nice.
Let's get to 1,000 subscribers by next week. And we have another giveaway in the works. I'm just going to tease it, but it does include some autographed stuff. So you're going to want to be subscribing on our YouTube channel by next week.
I have to give someone a shout out, though, from the... our giveaway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Evan Petty.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see this?
He's done this on our last two giveaways.
So part of it is you got to go through and you tag people, right?
Tag friends.
And
I didn't see it.
So you go through and the more people you tag, the more entries and all that sort of stuff. He's tagging all sorts of people. My favorite one that he tagged was Zach Wilson.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Give it to him.
Yeah. So
Gary says, choose
it. It's yours,
you
man.
Win. There, yeah. So I'm going through. I'm looking at stuff, and Zach Wilson, I thought, yep.
He tagged him last
time.
It
was pretty good. So I got to give it to you on that one.
Who messaged us today? He said he listens to us on Spotify. I wanted to give him a shout out. Zach, I think, is his name.
His
full name.
Yep. Zach Werrett.
Thank you.
Thank
you. He tagged
for
a bunch of people too. So,
hey, they're awesome shirts. They're Under Armour. It's the one that says Rise, Risen, Rose, or whatever. And then one with the interlocking Rose logo. I mean, good stuff. So follow along on Instagram. All right.
We should probably say, I think most people know by now, is that the USC game is at 6 p.m. This is primo, man.
Hooray.
On Fox. Not Fox Sports.
No, on Fox.
Not Fox Sports 8.
Yeah.
Fox West.
Fox. The Fox. It's going to be
this is great. Perfect time.
I'm just going to say this.
Say it. I know what you're going to say.
I hate afternoon games.
Yeah, like we haven't said that a million times before.
I know. But here's the thing. People are always saying Ute fans aren't satisfied. Right, it's either if it's a noon game we're mad, if it's an 8 game we're mad. No. 6 p.m. or
no one's mad about that.
7:30, those are perfect. Noon games, they just don't feel the same. The atmosphere is not the same.
Hey, I'm all right with 2 o'clock.
I'm sweating my freaking.
It was hot.
It was hot, man. Especially for the doofus next to me in a long sleeve shirt.
That sun beating down on you was hot.
Yeah, dumb wad. Jeez. Hey, speaking of that game.
Oh, you were talking about him. Yeah. I was like, you're insulting some just random dude. Yeah, he's insulting me.
Is this dude over here? It was, it was 80 degrees. So it felt like 90.
So he thought, I'll wear a hoodie.
No, I didn't have a hoodie.
It was supposed to be like 70.
Here's what I was going to say. to anybody, but to you married men out there. So here's some knowledge. So I asked my wife if she had some sunscreen. And she gave me, I don't know, some face cream, woman's face cream stuff with sun. What is it?
It was just sunscreen.
It wasn't just a normal sunscreen. It was something you'd get at a women's department with sunscreen in it.
No.
I said, okay, I'll try it.
It's Neutrogena.
Okay, that's for women's faces.
Gosh, you find it in the grocery store.
I put it on, and my lily white face was even whiter than
it
normally is.
It was ghost white.
No matter how much I would rub it in, it wouldn't rub in.
It's because it's the, it's the mineral
That's the best
kind.
Of the two things. The second was I burned my face off. It was crisped. My face was so... It was crap. If you're going to use sunscreen, don't use this kind of stuff.
Maybe
just get copper tone or whatever the other stuff is.
Was
the
it
real
expired?
Stuff. I don't know.
So your face was as white as the helmet.
And it was red as like, the other helmet.
Are you feeling okay? And then after the game, you were as red.
Yeah.
My lips got burned for sure.
You guys were unprepared.
Wisdom.
Unprepared.
No, I had a hat on and everything. It was just still.
Sunscreen.
Let's move on. Let's get to the game. First of all, believe it or not, today I was watching Cowherd a little bit.
Just to torture yourself?
And on just kind of an off-cuff remark, he said that Utah is going to win the Pac-12 because they can play. They're good on both sides of the ball.
He knows our name.
He's been pretty complimentary of Witt and the program, but
he
he's just such a
Witt.
USC homer. Honk. But he just said it, and...
All right, well.
Nice. I thought that was cool. All right.
Sweet.
Let's get to the Oregon State game.
All right.
Talk about it. Here's what I want to do first, though, is do we remember our predictions?
Nope.
No, I have no idea. Okay, you wrote them down. Good.
I wrote them down.
Gary's going to say, mine was 38.
My score was 42 to 16.
No, it wasn't. You loser.
It was. So I went 31-28.
Okay.
Not even close.
Not even close.
James was 27-21. That's worse.
No, it was a bigger spread.
Bryn was 31-21.
You know what's funny is even...
Nobody came close.
No one came close.
But even the next day, the day after we recorded, I was walking my dog and I was like, that was a horrible prediction. That is way too high because I was thinking about the USC game the week before where it was 17-14.
Yeah.
So in my head, I was like... Man, I did way too high. That's a horrible score. And looky there.
There was one 42 points on YouTube that predicted they got our score right.
Dang.
42, but they were...
Oh, but they got Oregon State's
Oregon
wrong.
State was way off. No one saw Oregon State getting 16 points.
No.
I don't know if anyone
I mean, at least
saw...
that I can recall, but hey, every... You know...
I didn't see Utah getting 42 points.
That was the bigger surprise. For me?
Yeah.
Oregon State's offense, as we saw, not great, but 42 points from Utah? That...
Okay, what I'm saying, though, is right, is every game... That's why predictions and a bunch of other stuff is so... It's fun but silly because every game is its own entity. You never know what's going to happen. No one's going to...
Well, matchups play such
how things
huge
work.
Factor,
I don't know. Anyway, that's our predictions, and as you can see, we're very, very skilled at it.
This is the reason you guys all tune in because
we were
of our
very
insights.
Close.
Real close on that one. Let's get to the game. Let's go. Let's do this. What positives of the game? Let's talk positives of the game. Negatives of the game.
Do you want to go like one at a time, or how do you want to do this?
Well,
we probably agree on a few.
We'll agree on some things, but maybe some will come from different angles.
I got a couple.
Okay, James, why don't you start?
I'll start us off. So there's the obvious ones, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Clark Phillips, a hat trick.
Cavs Clark.
I mean, good grief, Cavs Clark.
Those Cavs, baby.
And the thing about his interceptions, it wasn't like they were gift interceptions. It's not like something happened where it was a weird tip. No, all three were just him making a play. Which was awesome. So, but for me, that one's too obvious. The number
well,
one.
For, yeah, but it needs to be
it needs to be
about.
Said. To be I mean. And because you brought it up, is that was he the player of the week in the Pac-12 or
and
just
nationally?
Nationally.
Uh-huh. Just defensive player of the week nationally.
Nationally, of course, in the Pac-12 and nationally. Pac-12. That's
huge.
That's huge. Congratulations, by
so
the way.
So for me, though, that one's too obvious, but Jalen Dixon.
Yeah.
That one was, it was really cool to see. He had two scores, one that great reception, and then later on the jet sweep, I think it was, to see him get in the end zone a couple times after he was in the program. He left for personal reasons, came back, and Whittingham talked about him today. And he came back, and it was like, are you here? Are you all in with this team? Because you can't just half in, and he said, yeah, I'm all in. And so to see him come back, now, he was here last year, too, but...
Yeah, but see, I had forgotten, and maybe some of you probably all know, but I had forgotten that he'd entered the transfer portal and then decided to come back, because that's what Whittingham talked about today. Yeah. I had forgotten that.
No, I think he's the only player that Witt has ever allowed to come back after, because he didn't go into the transfer portal for I'm not getting enough playtime reasons. He had some personal issues and things, and then he came back. So that was the number one thing for me within the game that was pretty cool.
Some of my positives, I mean, obviously the interceptions, the pick six, I mean, starting their first drive with an interception and then we score off of that. I mean, all of those and then intercepting them twice in the end zone.
Yeah.
I mean, hello. But a couple of my other ones, the fact that Bryson Barnes got to play against Oregon State, I never would have seen that coming.
Four straight games where our backup quarterback is in the fourth quarter, people.
Yeah.
That does not happen. And two of those games are in conference play.
Which is just crazy.
Yeah.
And then another one of my positives is both Rising and Vele on their touchdowns. Rising's when he ran for it, and then Vele... They both, like, the fight in both of them in their touchdowns. I mean, Rising carried that dude for 5 yards on his back and still got the touchdown.
Boy, baby.
Still got the touchdown. And then Vele stretching as far as he could while being tackled. Like, to me, that just shows the passion and the drive and the fight in this team, which I really liked seeing out of both of those dudes.
Best game for Vele I've ever seen. He played awesome.
Yeah.
Good. I liked your story on the Instagram page, though, where with Rising and his stiff arm when he did Sewell.
James
that was
did
that,
that
you put it up?
Yeah.
James did
well
that.
Done, because
it's true.
There's Sewell. And then in this run, in this game, he stiff-armed a guy right immediately, put him to the ground.
On the line of scrimmage.
At the line of scrimmage. Huh. Stiff-armed another guy. Guys are all over him. Tiptoes
oh my God.
The sideline. and goes in. That's some skill. Yeah, that's
well, and it was interesting. Whittingham said today, people don't realize how fast he is until they play against him. And he is, but then it's that fight after you're being tackled to not go out of bounds and then stretch. That was awesome.
I loved when there was a play, he was running it, and their corner came up to lay the boom on him and absolutely bounced off of him and then walks off
dangling
his arm because he hurt himself.
Dangle arm.
That thick boy.
That's anyway, continue.
Well, okay, let's stay on Cam. That is a positive of the game. One of the major positives of the game. He had, okay, if I can recall, I mean, I could look, but so 199 yards passing, 200 basically yards passing, three touchdowns through the air. And he ran for what was it, 75
yards? 75
yards. 75 yards and ran that one.
So four touchdowns.
A touchdown.
And 275 total yards. Not bad.
This guy.
He's a baller, dude.
We always talk about QBR. And, of course, there's different ways to, you know, rank and rate quarterbacks and so forth. But the QBR ranking through to this point in the season nationally, Cam Rising is number 6 in the nation, if you don't know it. Okay. So you've got Jalen Daniels from Kansas is number 1. CJ Stroud is number 2.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, who's that guy?
Yeah, right.
At number 6, Cam Rising. Number 7, DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the guy we play. Jeez. Caleb Williams.
He's at 7.
Then Bryce Young is at number 9. So, yeah, is Cam Rising the flash that CJ Stroud is? Of course not.
No.
Caleb Williams, they're just different quarterbacks. But that's the thing with the QBR, is it takes into account the running, the throwing, the positive things that go on when you're in the game, the impact you have in a game, the total impact. That's why I like it myself. And it just shows where Cam Rising is. Now, obviously, so in the conference, you have Cam Rising's 1, DTR is 2, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix is 4.
Our next two opponents are right behind him.
The dude at Washington. Anyway. And we talked about it at the game. This is a point I think is worth discussing. Is the only way we're going to win games is a Cam Rising, I think anyway, has to do exactly what he just did in this game. I'm not saying he has to run 15, 20 times, has to be the running back, but for us to win, he needs to have those impact plays like he had.
Yeah.
You think about this game where so much of what he did was at an essential moment and made a huge play, kept things going, or we score, something like that. He is the guy.
He's got to be the best player on the field. And you're right. Like, I think he has to take over the game. And when you say that, it sounds like, he needs to make every single play.
He
needs to do what he does best, get the ball to his guys, and control the game, which he's very, very good at. But you're right. At the end of the game, you kind of look at it. He's not that flash all the time. I mean, he has plays, but you come back and you go, God dang, he had almost 300 yards of total offense and 4 touchdowns.
4 TDs. At critical times. That's the thing.
Against an Oregon State defense
who team, man.
Held USC to 17 points. They're a good freaking team. So
they're better than these two losses, by the way. They could have beat us without those throws in the end zone. But I'm just saying they're a good freaking team. Okay, let me just throw a couple things out. Give some comments on some of the positives. I don't know if you saw this on our Facebook page. This is just a warning to people that we're not a war.
What?
Not a warning. I'm saying it would be some more wisdom. This guy tweeted during the game, or not tweeted.
Posted in our group, in our Facebook
page during the game.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Aaron, I won't give your last name up, dude, but it's Aaron. Hubert's the worst tackler I have ever seen.
I saw this.
Let's stick an arm out, leg out, and hope they trip over you. Just so there you go. That was sometime during the game. Just for Aaron's information, that R.J. Hubert was the leading tackler for Utah this game. He had 12 and 9 solo.
Plus a
pick in the end zone.
Pick in the end zone, return 70 yards.
So I'm just saying you... And I know some people actually deleted some of their comments.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Yeah, because I got on at
from Facebook,
went through, and then the game ends, and there was a bunch gone.
Gone. So, this guy kept his. I'll give you credit hanging Aaron. In there, dude.
Just live posting is not
just saying,
a good idea.
Never a good
idea. It comes back to show that stupid.
We're all stupid.
Yeah.
I'll just throw some quick things out. Tell me what you think. Oregon State was only on third downs 3 for 10. That's a positive. That's because of Utah. They were only 3 for 10 on third down.
Quick math. 30%.
Good job.
Thank you. They were only 1 for 3 on fourth down, which is good. Utah had, I think we had 11 possessions. Mm-hmm. I heard 12, but I think it was only 11. Which is unbelievable. You think you have more than that.
It feels like you'd be at
18.
I know. I was like,
the old days,
it
used to be like that. No, we had 11 possessions that whole game.
Which is why every possession is so important.
And we had 6 touchdowns.
That's not bad.
So there's the 6 TDs in 11 possessions. And every time we were in the red zone, we scored a TD. And I think it was like 3 or
that's a huge improvement. Whatever it was. We talked about that last week.
Huge improvement. Dang, I love seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I will just say, here's the one, just probably obscure. People didn't see it or remember it, but remember, because I think it was the third quarter, Oregon State threw a little quick pass. The dude, they ran for like 40 yards.
No, he ran for like 60 yards.
Okay, and that was on the west side of the field, just coming down. And Vaughn, all the way from the other side of the field, came across full speed, brought the dude down. At the 5. He could have tanked it because he was on the other side of the field. Came all the way, took him down.
It's that fight that we talked about earlier.
Exactly.
It's the passion, the drive to win. And they got a field goal.
And then the next play, they throw into the end zone. It was Vaughn again who stretched out his arm and blocked it.
Yeah.
And we ended up holding him to 3. If the guy doesn't make that effort, just kind of tanks it, or says, I can't get to him, the guy scores a touchdown. Who knows? I mean, I don't know at that point. But he saved the touchdown. He made a great play in the end zone. And then they end up with just 3. I felt like that's what you said, Bryn, is that kind of effort is how you win.
Mm-hmm.
And I was impressed with that guy. He ran him down. That was some speed.
Yeah, a lot of speed.
He came the whole way. So I like that. So, all right. But I think we need to talk about, I don't know, some of the negative side of it.
Can I give you one positive game atmosphere-wise?
Oh, yeah.
The music was better.
So much better. We talked about it.
Did you?
Yeah, we actually mentioned that.
It was classic rock. It was like stuff from this decade, finally.
A little Coolio shout out, R.I.P.
R.I.P. Here's the thing. I was thinking about it. Please keep that up.
It was
Utah
great.
Utah athletics,
just
marketing.
Just one thing. Turn the volume up a little bit.
Well, I actually felt like it was maybe a little bit louder. You don't think so?
No. But I'm not going to complain.
Here's
what
I'm saying.
The music was so much better.
The music was so much better, and I want to see that in a night game next week, 6 p.m., when the crowd is actually alive. Because noon games, people just aren't that into it.
It's hard to get into it when it's just different.
It's different. So I want to see that same energy, that same music. Let's crank it up a notch.
You will.
But it was better, and I want to see that next week.
It was
good. That was my positive in-game atmosphere.
That's a good one. I agree. That was an improvement. Okay, we don't have to take a lot of time on negative stuff, but I think we have to be realistic about that game. It was a blowout on the score.
Right.
But here, let's talk about a couple of things. Number one is, in the first half, anyway, Oregon State ran the ball for 130 yards. Yeah. The first half. That's running it.
It's a lot of yards.
A lot of yards. Against, you take out interceptions. Defense. I mean, I know, but look, they ran it. They only gained 170 total, so he shut it down in the second half. But total yards, they had more. As far as total yards in the game, they had 417. That's a negative. They had more than we had. Mm-hmm. First downs, they had one more than us. Possession time was about the same, but that rushing.
I'll say, to go along with that, I will say they gained a ton of yards between the 20s. I mean, they did some things that between the 20s that were very impressive.
They moved the ball.
They moved the ball. I mean, yardage-wise, they moved the ball. But you don't score with yardage. So as soon as they got inside that red zone, the defense clamped down. Two interceptions inside the end zone. Three trips to the red zone that were field goals only. So the defense, they really stepped up inside the red zone. So,
okay, I agree. The glass is half full or the glass is half empty view on that, which is all true, all positives. But my negative side of that is the fact that they were in the red zone five times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
with a backup quarterback, too.
And I just, that worries me. If you allow teams to get in there five times, like,
agreed.
Say, because their quarterback's, yeah, backup QB, they're not Caleb Williams. They're not JTR.
DTR.
I'm just saying that worries me. If we got to keep them out of the red zone more, or because, you know, the D came to play, but if that becomes your habit, if they score 50% of those plays on as touchdowns or more,
different game.
Well, one of my negatives was that.
To me, is a negative.
We gave up too many chunk plays. Like, they had a few where we just looked so out of it and they would gain 30 yards. Like, in a couple plays. That happened a few times. So, yeah, it's a negative to go the whole field. But some of those were big plays all happening at once. But that's a negative because we didn't stop them there.
No, it is.
Major holes and we were all on one side of the field and then their guy would just run on the other side.
Wasn't perfect.
That was one of my negatives.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, they gave up a lot of yards, some big plays. That one of that Vaughn made the play.
Yeah.
It was like a 60-yard gain.
Yeah.
I mean, good grief. And it just opened up and he was gone. So I get what you're saying. Maybe against some better offensive opponents. They're in the end zone.
A better quarterback.
Better quarterback, they're in the end zone. So I agree. But man, it was impressive to see him clamp down a little bit and say nope, and you know, that whole bend but don't break mentality.
Yeah, that's fine, but I don't like getting him onto the 10-5 that many times. That because
agreed, it's hard to stop.
I worry about that, and they gained 417 yards and all of that stuff. Yeah, it's a little worrisome. So I don't find that to be a perfect. Though the D was fantastic because of that. On the other hand, don't let him get in there.
Right.
I guess that's what I'm saying.
Agreed.
Well, I don't know if this is negative or not, but what do we know? Do we know anything or your thoughts on Thomas Tavion?
Just from what Winningham's talked about. He talked about it today again, just that he's been going through some stuff personally, whatever it is. We don't know. I will say the depth chart again was announced today, and he is running back one.
I saw that.
And I think that's super telling. I think that is putting a lot of faith into this guy. You know, it would have been very easy to put one of these other three dudes that we've got as running back one, even if it was to send a message to him, right? Like, that's a Whittingham thing to do, mental game and send a message. But that was the first thing I looked at. And Tavion Thomas is our running back one. And I'll just say, we want to win the Pac-12, we need Tavion Thomas of last year. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why he didn't see the field at all in the second half, but he's got to get it together. Whether it's personal, whether it's a team thing, I don't know. But this week and next week, we've got to have. I mean, freak, dude.
And after, I mean, we need him.
I watched the USC game. If his head's on right, he could run for 400 yards against those guys.
Yeah.
They let Anus U run the ball like crazy.
Yeah.
Tavion could have a career day.
But like you said, we need the Tavion from last year.
Thomas. Yes.
I feel like we haven't seen it.
All right. That's good. I did see that on the depth chart.
Yeah.
Which I agree with you. I thought, okay, this is good because I don't think they'd play games. I think if he was on his way out or there were issues, he wouldn't be listed as one.
I agree.
That's completely. My view on it. I just don't think they play games like that. But because he is, that's, to me, a good sign.
I think we struggled, though, with our run game on Saturday.
100%. Cam's our leading rusher.
Cam was our leading rusher. It sounds like Mekhi Bernard has been dealing with an injury. Mm-hmm.
All the more reason why it's shocking, because Bernard played a bunch. You got young Glover, who's going to be a baller, but he's young. So to not see Thomas,
we
a
need
bunch,
Thomas. Come
we
on,
need him. We need the old Cam Thomas. Cannot be our leading rusher.
We need Thomas. We need that. All right, let's go to UCLA, baby.
I have a negative.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to jump
no,
in.
Well,
come on.
Okay,
is this your first episode? Just jump
yes,
in.
Yes, exactly. I gotta just yell.
I thought you'd given it.
No. Well, this is my. I gave my in-game positive. I'm now giving my in-game negative, and that is that we could not hear Kenneth Scott and his halftime performance. What the hell was going on?
So they had him mic'd.
I know.
But it was those speakers, and they were only facing towards the west side of the stadium.
So only if you sat in rows.
This only speakers being utilized were on the field.
Were on the field facing the
only,
west side.
The only people that could hear it were probably brilliant. Like rows 1 to 20 on the west side.
So everyone else in the stadium is just seeing him.
Yeah, and it looked like his microphone was broken.
So everyone's going, what the freak? It was pathetic.
And I'm pissed because I felt like that was a really cool thing.
We need a redo.
We finally had like system. An awesome halftime, and he's an alum, and it was homecoming. Like, it was so cool. And the entire stadium couldn't hear him unless you're rows 1 to 20 on the west side.
On the west side.
I didn't know that part.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I didn't either, because from where I was sitting, I thought they screwed up and forgot to turn the microphone on.
It looked like it was broken.
Nope. Only the special people got to see it.
That
was
an epic fail.
And the ones who don't really care,
the ones
probably.
Who don't stand up.
The old geezers on the west side going, what is this guy?
Probably. So that was so disappointing. So disappointing. I hope that they redo it, because that sucks for him, too. That was my negative.
That's a good one. Anything else? Got any thoughts?
No.
On that game?
No. Nope.
All right, let's go. Let's move on to UCLA, because
alrighty.
We are in the middle of the gauntlet of October.
Oh my gosh, our next three games are so.
Oregon State is a good football team, and that's a good win. But we got UCLA, USC. Washington State, is that correct? Is that
on the road at Washington State.
We have a bye in between.
And then when do we go up to Oregon?
Well, we have a bye in between USC and Washington State.
Wow. Anyway, it's one game at a time. And here we go. We're going to UCLA. Now, they're 5-0. Let me start with this.
Crazy.
So
they're crazy.
They're 5-0.
I'm shocked by that.
And it's their stats and all of this and that. And they had a great win last week against Washington. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched it.
Upset, yeah.
I watched it.
I was really impressed.
Impressed with that, so I'm not going to discount that. But at 5-0, here's who they've played.
Okay, let's see.
Okay, here's who they've played in five games. Bowling Green.
Baller.
Which they won 45-17.
In front of 16 people.
Alabama State,
woo,
45-7.
Jeez.
South Alabama, they barely won. 32-31.
Yeah, in like the last seconds.
South Alabama.
Sounds like a schedule from another team, I know.
Colorado, who is garbage.
Oh, the worst team.
Worst team
in
all of
P5.
They're just no good.
They just fired their coach today, by the way.
Yeah, he's out.
Oh, they did.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see that.
And they took them out pretty handily. Jeez. And then Washington. So when you look at their stats and you look at their numbers and all the praise, you have to look at the schedule. They really have played four teams that are subpar. Third tier stuff.
Yeah.
And then they beat Washington, so I give them props in that. Now, you could say that about every schedule, but Utah played Florida, and we lost. If Tavian Thomas doesn't trip over Cam Rising, he scores. Or if they don't throw an interception at the end. I mean, we could easily won that game. I'm just saying, played Florida.
Right.
Okay, SUU, granted. That's tier three stuff. But then, San Diego State's not good, but... And then we play Oregon State.
And blow the doors off of them.
And blowing the doors off everybody.
ANSU.
So
ANSU.
Oh, an ANSU.
Who's got talent?
They got talent, as you could see against USC that they were right in that game for a lot of it. All I'm just saying is, okay, I'm tempering. How do I want to say it, man? I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be close. But just up front, I have to be realistic about who they've played and where their stats come from. Because you look at their stats, they've got some, you know, some. They've been putting up numbers and so forth. But right. It's against these guys.
So you mentioned earlier that DTR, their quarterback, was number 7 when it comes to the QBR nationally. Well, now it makes sense. I mean, good grief. You're playing South Alabama, Alabama Tech, everybody in the state of Alabama, except for Alabama. So, yeah, okay. It makes a little bit more sense there. But I watched that game Friday night against Washington. I thought Washington was a pretty decent team. At least it seemed like it was. Yeah. And they beat them pretty good. They looked really good. And DTR can be very dangerous. Utah in the past has handled him pretty well. He mm-hmm. hasn't had great games against us.
What did I see today? He hasn't played, or he's only played us like one time.
Yeah, he was hurt last year, so he didn't play us. Because he's only like 114 pounds. I mean, if someone gets a good hit on him, he could get hurt. So
Cole Bishop, please.
But he is...
Please.
He's very athletic. He can do some dynamic things, but the statistics are a little bit skewed when you consider the competition that they've played.
Here's my three things and my thoughts coming into this game. When I watched the first half of them play against Washington, and what I noticed is that there was no offensive line with Washington. UCLA got through to their quarterback every single play. And so Penix, who has been having a really good season, like, he had no time to throw. So
second half, though, if you didn't watch it,
I didn't watch the second half.
He was very, very good.
So they cleaned that up?
Yeah. He brought him back.
Yeah. Did you see his shirts that he put out?
No.
I think it said Big...
Big Penix?
Big Penix Energy or something like that.
That is good.
That's a good one.
Okay. That's good.
Give him credit for that.
I'll give you credit on that, Penix.
My second thing is...
Verify that.
I think I saw that.
Big Penix? Oh.
Sure, why not? The crowd's not going to be a factor. Let's be honest. Even when UCLA has gotten good crowds, it's still not a factor.
Well, and it's an afternoon game, so it's not even an evening game. So there's going to be more Utah fans there than UCLA fans.
I didn't think about that.
We've been to the Rose Bowl plenty of times. Even when it's full, it's not a good atmosphere.
Well, so I was watching the game against Washington, and it seemed decent, but if you looked up top, it's like the Huntsman Center, where there's giant like banners over top of the seats.
Right.
So it's like, it's only the lower section, not even that was full, and it's just not
so
an atmosphere.
That's just not going to play a factor. My third thing is that does make me really nervous, obviously, is DTR. He's all over the place. He runs, he does everything, and this is also for our... In 2 weeks against USC with Caleb Williams, we handle those kind of quarterbacks well, but what makes me nervous is that's the kind of stuff where you get the targeting calls all the time, because Utah is a very physical defense, and when you have a quarterback who's running around, you're not quite sure what he's going to do, so you tackle him.
And all of a sudden he ducks down.
And then all of a sudden he ducks down, or he says he's going to go out of bounds and he doesn't, like freaking Caleb Williams did against ANSU. That's the kind of stuff that makes me nervous, because the Pac-12 is very flag happy and target happy when it comes to those things. As we saw last week, Cole Bishop getting called on that just because he tackled a guy really hard. That kind of stuff makes me nervous with DTR and next week with USC, because our defensive players are going to tackle hard, especially a guy that's running around like that and you just don't know what he's going
to
do.
Well, and his ability to extend those plays.
Right.
Right. And if you get a hand on him, and then he spins out of it, extends a play, it goes from a 6-yard sack to all of a sudden it's a 35-yard
game.
And
he's really good at doing
that.
And
he's very good at that. So he is that X factor. I still think Utah's got the advantage when it comes to, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But I'll be honest, I'm a lot more nervous about this game than I was about a week ago watching them play.
Yeah, they look good.
They looked good. I just looked. It's a 4.5-point Utah spread right now, so we're favored by 4.5.
I've seen 3 on a couple of betting sites, too.
So, man, if you could get Utah at 3, I'd bet on that. But
okay, so, yeah, DTR, I'm with you, Bryn, is the guy is very, the dual threat thing. Yeah. I mean, I was impressed with how he's throwing the ball, but he can run. But I'll say this, he's a head case. He's an emotional type player. Now, maybe he's put on some weight since we played him last or whatever. I don't know what he is now, but he's he's not huge. He doesn't look huge anyway. I think we hit him hard a few times. Make him, just from our last experience that when we kicked his butt, I know it's been a long time ago. I just feel like if we can hit him, get him frustrated, well, he could spiral from it.
It's
personally.
Like we did with Daniels last year when we played ASU. And granted, we don't have Devin Lloyd this year, but Devin Lloyd took him out a couple times, and then it was like he was flustered the rest of the game. So I see what you're saying. If we can do that a couple times,
get on these guys. But their running back is good. What's his name? It's.
Well, I was just looking it up. DTR's listed at 6'1", 205.
I don't think. And you know they always lie on those things.
He's 190.
You always add like 20 pounds. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like the basketball players. He's 6'1", but on the roster he's 6'6". Right. Like it's the same thing. I'm watching him run around. He is not 205. There's no way.
You put some licks on this guy, it'll make a difference.
So their running back. What's his name?
Is it Charbonnet?
Charbonnet. He's had a decent year.
Averages almost 6.5 yards a carry.
Yeah, when you're playing Alabama Tech.
I know, that's where I have to temper it, but nevertheless, the guy's good. And they have a tight end, I think he's pretty good.
Well, they got this receiver, Bobo. He's pretty good.
So it's
going to be a hard game. And it's on the road, which always adds an element, but again, I don't think the atmosphere.
The crowd's not
going to
be a factor, but anytime you go on the road, it's different.
Yeah, it's different.
It's just different, and it is. And you know, you have to travel. You're sleeping in a hotel.
We got to score points. We need to.
All right, should we do predictions?
They're going to score points.
41-24.
Wait a minute.
Utah.
He has to get his pen.
What
out.
Are you saying?
41-24, Utah. I just came up with that out of nowhere.
45.
Good grief.
35. I think it's going to be high scoring.
I think so, too.
I'm going, and I'm correct.
Based off of last
week. Based off of last week. Much proof. I'm going 38-34 for Utah.
It's too close.
Okay, well, let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know. 38-34. I don't know. I'm nervous. I mean, I'm going to be nervous
every game.
We should win this one.
It's a 1:30 kick, by the way.
Yeah, 1:30.
On Fox.
On Fox. So we're two
back-to-back
weeks
Fox weeks, which is awesome.
All right.
We're going to make some comments on comments.
This is old man yells at YouTube comments segment.
No. I'm just presenting comments, and you can say...
Shout out, Ben.
And you can yell back at them. Ben gave you that?
Okay, let's look. What
Shout
do we
out
got
to Ben
here?
For surviving the hurricane.
Yeah,
last
I know.
Week. He got stuck
in
Florida.
Were you listening to us in Florida?
Probably. What else was he going
to
do?
The power was out. So he listened to us
that
ramble.
Not that one. Oh, here's a great one, I think.
Was that sarcasm or real?
No. This is from Grant K. Every week, I can't wait for the next Utah football game. And then all weekend, I look forward to listening to the podcast.
As you should.
Right on, brother.
That's so nice.
Grant, you're all right, man. Thank you.
You got to read the negative one. That's what people are here for.
Hey, we'll get there. Diane.
Be patient. He's getting there.
Love your podcast.
Diane.
Thanks, Diane. I'd say this is my favorite Utes podcast.
Aww, that's so nice.
Duh.
I have to do this one first before we move on to some other stuff. I'm a USC fan.
Okay.
And I feel like a traitor for enjoying this podcast so much.
Ooh. Well, stick around for next week because you're not going to
okay.
like it.
I know, no, overlook us in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but we've said crap about USC and he's still saying
Man,
that.
Thank
so that's
you so
nice.
Much.
We say that's crap shocking. About him every week.
That is shocking.
So that's very
and Bart
nice.
Bart Barker. This is my favorite Utah football podcast and one of my favorite sports pods.
Oh, my God.
All right, now.
The flattery is just so
Thanks, ma'am.
Nice.
And this is from.
Those are all the positive ones.
This is
left,
from Lannis.
Okay.
Lannis?
Lannis.
K Okay.
L-A-N-N-I-S. Lannis. That's it.
Okay.
This show is terrible.
Is that all it says? Thanks for listening, Lannis.
Thanks, Lannis. I hope you've subscribed, though.
You know. Yeah, subscribe.
Some in-depth.
Get us to 1,000.
Yeah, that's an epistle right there, Lannis.
I mean, I've...
Hey,
but
sure.
I'll say this.
I respect it.
Yeah. But...
You are correct.
But I don't take... I don't really, you know... With a name like Lannis, I don't really take it all that seriously.
Okay, it's a YouTube name. Yes.
What it is... He's probably a USC fan.
It's a Zuby.
Or a Zoo.
Or we're just terrible. That's fine, too.
That's fine, too. Maybe we probably are.
All things can be true.
Okay. Oh, here's one. This is from Joey Crane. Have you guys ever watched Third Rock from the Sun?
Oh, I read this one. This one made me laugh out loud, actually.
And so he said, I'm Dick.
Fitting.
Sally and Harry.
I will accept
for
that.
For some reason, let's I think of that show time. While listening, watching.
Is he squid?
Yeah, you have Love to the do show. That for now.
All right, this is my new person.
So Harry.
French Stewart.
That's it.
And you're Sally? Okay, see, when I read it, I guess it's a compliment.
I had a friend in elementary school who was so in love with French Stewart. She loved
Who's
him.
Who's that?
Barbara Gray.
Barbara Gray did?
Shout out Barbara Gray. She loved him
on that
show.
She's the only person to ever be in love with him. That was a great show,
okay,
by the way.
Okay, thank you. But what I was saying, thank you, I think.
No.
But I've been criticized when I wore my hat backwards.
Yeah.
You know, a year or so ago, I had some hacks.
Yeah.
Make fun of me. And then I've had people call me the old man. Huh. And now
That's
I have
our buddy.
Yeah.
Stanton, I think his name
and
is.
And now a guy says I look like John Lithgow. Freaking heck, man.
I don't look like the old lady.
I am going to have a complex.
Do I look like the old lady on Third Rock?
It's not the old lady.
You're not the old lady.
Yeah, Sally was the old lady, wasn't she?
Uh-uh.
Kirsten. Oh, no, Sally was the... Okay,
Kirsten
well,
something.
Oh.
Anyway, thanks, though. It's a good one.
Now, yeah, now Sally was Kirsten Johnson.
Now I'm questioning everything.
John Lithgow.
Yeah, look at me.
I can see it.
I'm going to have a complex, dude.
I can see it.
If I put my glasses on, maybe I can see it. Does that look like John Lithgow?
He doesn't wear glasses in the show, though.
He talks
true. There we go. That's
oh
us.
God. Oh, there we
there
are.
There we are.
Oh, freak, yeah, man. You have to see, I got a complex.
You got to squint your eyes now. Oh, my God.
And finally, this is from our buddy.
I forgot Newman was in that show. At least they didn't call you Newman.
Thanks, bud. Okay, and this is from Brendan.
Oh, yeah.
Our buddy.
Our
Florida fan who now lives in Las Vegas.
Yeah, our Florida friend.
And he wrote a bunch of stuff to us. And
he's coming up for the game next
and whatever.
Year, so.
But the point I want to make to Brendan, our friend. We appreciate your analysis friend and criticisms. Brendan. That's fine. You're wrong.
He has a lot of analysis.
But if you'll notice, what did he say at the end? Go Gators. Go Utes. So I appreciate that.
Oh, I can't read it.
And then he said.
No, he can read it because.
Go Broncos.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah. Hey, Brendan. What was that score yesterday? Sunday.
We're all feeling real good now.
Baby.
After we gave him the jackass of the week.
The Raiders,
award.
Huh? You meant say Raiders.
Enjoy it this week because they're going to lose again next week.
Broncos.
How do you live in Las Vegas? It's Raider Nation now, baby.
Yeah.
No,
come on.
Brendan,
just convert.
Brendan, come on over. Even though they get the jackass last week, it propelled them into their first win of the season.
I sent them the trophy, and obviously it did something.
Anyway, there you go. Comments.
My cute little 8-year-old yesterday, he comes up to me, he goes, Mom, the Raiders are winning. And I was like, Don't hold on to it too long. I go, they're not going to win.
You told him that?
Oh, of course I did, because there was still like 10 minutes left in the game, and he was so excited.
We were texting, we told him the same thing.
But hey, Brandon.
Hey, they won, though.
Go Raiders, how about that?
We're up, and I was it's over. We're going to lose.
Let's go to the jackass.
All right. James is going to... Jackass of the Week Award goes to...
I'm pulling it up.
You're supposed to just have it ready.
Oh, I had it ready, and now my...
How many writers are there on the AP?
So free.
How many writers is that?
Do
you think?
Doesn't say. I wish it numbered them.
Okay. So
here it is, Jackassery.
So every week, obviously, is the AP poll, and the writers from across the country who are affiliated to different states and different teams, they send in their 25, ranked 1 through 25. I bet there's, what, 50 names on that list?
At least.
At least
it's
50.
Probably like at least, 75.
I don't know. But there's every single one of them has Utah ranked somewhere.
The worst, I think, is we're like 18 or something.
Well, this jackwagon, Nathan Baird, who is the Ohio State football reporter for Cleveland.com, hey, doesn't have Utah ranked at all
in the top 25.
He does not have Utah ranked in the top 25. And so I actually called him out and I said, you know.
Did you?
Yeah. And we went back and forth and he actually responded back to me. To his credit, he responded back to me. But his justification was, and I thought this was just stupid, was how can I rank? I'm not impressed with Utah's wins. He hasn't watched Utah.
No, he hasn't watched Utah.
His one impression of Utah was a week one on the road loss to Florida, who turns out Florida's crap. But that's his one and only impression. So he even said, how can I rank Utah? I'm going to put Florida in front of Utah. They beat him. Hey, jackass.
That's so dumb.
Teams beat other teams all the time. That doesn't mean that they're overall better in the whole scheme of the season. You can't rank an entire season based off the first week. So,
well, here's
Ohio State fans, your writer's a jackass.
Well, yeah, come on, Ohio State
fans.
And
here's the proof to me right here. Okay, so he has USC ranked 9th. Let's just compare who USC has played and who Utah has played.
What else does he have in here?
USC won the games they're supposed to win. They killed Rice, blah, blah, blah. We've played now two of the same teams, ANSU, Oregon State.
We beat them.
Oregon State was 17-14. We just beat them 42-16. What I'm saying is you can't rank USC 9th and not have Utah anywhere in the top 25.
Yeah, that's just.
Of course he has Ohio State first, Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, Tennessee, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he doesn't have Utah in the top 25. To me, that just shows he's a joke.
He's
a jackass. He gets the award.
I do.
That's why the AP poll is stupid. Look at the regional
Nathan
guys.
Nathan Baird, you jackwagon.
Because, of course, he's going to vote U.S. or Ohio State. And it's like, does he have a grudge against Utah, even though we didn't beat Ohio State? I don't know. Hey, all of our Buckeyes, can you talk to this dude?
What a fool.
Yeah, get on him and Not tell him that. He won the Jackass of the Week. Tell him congrats from us.
Man, there's this list. I'm gonna give a
we
special
have one guy
Jackass of for John Wilner, who's from the San Jose Mercury News.
I see his stuff pop up on Twitter all the time.
This Jackass he's
number two Jackass.
He's number two Jackass. he's got Kentucky, and then it's Oregon, Washington State. Cincinnati, a team that shall not be named, Baylor, Florida, and then Utah. He has Utah at, what would that be? 18.
You should not be able to vote in this kind of stuff if you are not watching all the games.
Give me a
break. None of them do. They can't do it. That's why the poll is dumb.
Stupid.
That's why we criticize it.
That's why I'll stick with the king himself, Joel Klatt, who has Utah ranked number 10 on his power rankings, and talked about today how Utah is still very much so in the playoff conversation.
Can I give you...
Joel Klatt, thank you very much.
And I will just say this. If you look at the ESPN... I had that up. What did I do with it? Their ESPN rankings? Utah, they have it number 7.
Yeah.
Can
they
I
have
ask...
Texas, though, at 6.
Oh, jeez.
Clemson 5, Michigan 4, Georgia.
Man, Georgia.
Ohio State at 2. Ooh,
Georgia, man.
And guess
awful.
Who's number 1, of course. But they go on to give reasons why. I'm just saying.
Okay, talking about ESPN in our last couple of minutes, may I ask a question?
You may.
How does Rod Gilmore have a job?
Oh, I had to mute the guy. He is
I'm
terrible.
Watching on Saturday night. It is ANSU's first drive of the game. First drive of the game.
What'd he say?
And they're going into third down, and he goes, Well, it's four down territory, obviously. So they have two more tries on this.
On their first drive
their
of the game?
Their first drive of the game. And he says that it's four down territory.
I'll just say, whoever his agent is, I want him too. I want him. Because he could get me a job anywhere.
He listed it as third down when it was second down. The dude is horrible. How does he have a job?
Just some of his comments. Yeah, I
it's four down territory. I think obviously.
I think I texted you. You did. About
you did.
But it's so ridiculous.
I try to be open-minded.
No.
Not with
it just gets bad.
Anyways.
All right, Ute fans and everyone else.
Mostly everyone else.
Let's do it.
It's going to be a tough one.
It's going to be another. Let's keep the faith. I think we're going
right
to win.
Here, but
I think we're going to.
Have fun in Disneyland, any Utah fans that are going, because we know you'll go to Disneyland if you go to the UCLA game.
Hey, yeah, I was going to say, any super rich.
Yeah, you know, do you want to sponsor us to
maybe
go?
Maybe go. I think Thomas Ortho has his own plane, right?
Ooh, if
that,
yeah.
Sure he does. Yeah.
Let's do that.
I looked those flights. It's like $400 round trip to get to LA.
Oh, dang. No. It'd be fun.
All right.
Go Utes.
Go Utes. But what we're going to do in honor of not being able to hear K.
Thank
Scott.
Thank you. Yes.
Good call.
Play K.
We're going
Scott.
To listen to K. Scott as we go out.
I'll just think in my mind how he was performing on
Saturday.
Yeah,
the microphone is up.
The whole stadium can
I
hear
was
it.
Ready.
I was
I'm telling you why. You can see in their eyes, and boys ain't playing, they ready to ride. Shaking the tunnels, just screaming and yelling.
Yo,
you ain't ready, you get eaten alive. Taking the field with loads of passion. Swagging out with the flies fashion.
Bear, what a loser.
Captain Sal, we about to get it cracking. Full of crashing in between those lines. You boys, we about to ride. We're a band of
we actually has
we
somebody.
Like an army mission when it's wartime. We stacking them W's, pay attention. Ponies coming with apprehension. We stay on top.
I think his handle on Twitter is Peace, Love, and Youth. He said we need to send him the trophy that we have. Get him a
we should.
Get his P.O. box and send it to him.
The eternal. All right, Utes. We're going to do it. Keeps going. It keeps going.
Go, Utes.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available. Tremfya.